my subject today is looking up and saying thank you. Learning to look, a little delayed Thanksgiving message. But by the way, those of you that came and served and did, that was just beautiful. God bless you. I know you had a wonderful Thanksgiving because it's always more blessed to give than it is to receive. So God bless you sincerely. So my subject today, along the Thanksgiving line, but a little different, but Matthew 14, if you'll turn, please, in your Bible. Matthew 14, we'll read verses 13 through 21 to begin with. The word of the Lord says, "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' They say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass." I love our gentle shepherd. He puts the multitude, it's a desert. He puts them on the grass. And he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave. Now, we'll hold the screen there a moment because I don't know if I'll get back to it. But any time you give an offering to God, even if it's yourself, for example, when you first came to Christ, you gave him your heart, you gave him your trust, and you cast all that you knew or understood about how to come to Christ, you did it the best you understood. At that moment, he blessed you. So what does that mean? Well, that means that he sanctified you, or he sanctioned you. He invoked a blessing on you, and namely, the fact that you're now a son or daughter of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, same word, that we should be called the sons of God. So he blessed you. So you thought at that point life would just be amen and hallelujah all the way to heaven, right? You had no idea that before he could put you in ministry, he would have to break you. You see, he takes all the offerings that are given to him, and he does bless them. He invokes a purpose and a sanction on the offering, but before it can be useful, it has to be broken. So he breaks it. The word break here is the same word that you'd use in a communion service in ancient times, where the loaf was torn in pieces and distributed to the people. So they're tearing it in pieces. You may feel sometimes like you don't understand. Right after you got saved, you had this period of joy, and then things started happening in your life, and you started experiencing conflict and difficulty and trials and heartaches, and you think, wait a minute, I'm blessed. I'm a son or daughter of God. Could it be that he was breaking you? Because he has to break you. He absolutely has to break you. I failed. I wanted to bring a banana to the service because I like bananas, and they're nutritious food, and it's a great snack. I know you eat too many of them, high calories and all that stuff. And, you know, you always got some health people at the door going to tell you, well, you know, you got to watch those bananas because. But I wanted to show you in an illustration that banana. So if you could just picture this, if you could just. You know how it's, I think we're all familiar with bananas. But with the peeling on it, it really doesn't benefit me at all. Before I can partake of the fruit, you got to peel that thing. And I wanted to illustrate, and I forgot my banana, but if you took your first, ouch, when you break it at the top, ow, ow, you can hear the banana cry. And he, ow. Yeah. Oh, that hurt. Yeah. And the next thing you know, the peel, if the banana could talk, it didn't like having its hide peeled. But it was absolutely useless until its hide got peeled. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how talented you are, your dynamic personality, your influence, your popularity, or what all the unique things that you have that God has given you, and I don't argue with that, you're better off broken. And you're not much good until you are. And so he blessed it, and he break it, and then now you're ready to be distributed in ministry to help others. So that's just something that the Holy Spirit kind of pointed out to me. He blesses us, he breaks us, and then he gives. And matter of fact, everything that God gives you, his ultimate purpose is to give it through you, not really to you, because he's always about others. Okay? So he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave the loaves to the disciples. And then the disciples gave it to the multitude. And they all did eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. A Sunday school teacher asked little Jimmy if he prayed every night. He said, well, no, ma'am, I don't pray every night. Why don't you pray every night? He said, well, some nights I don't need anything. That's kind of the way our prayer lives are. We don't always need something, so we don't always talk to God. But prayer should include a lot of thank yous. Someone has told the story of a guy goes to heaven, and Peter's there, and he's going to give him a tour. And he's walking through heaven, and he shows him these various rooms. And one particular room is a very large room. And in this room, they're busy. I mean, there's all sorts of activity taking place. And the guy says, well, what is this room? He said, well, this room is where prayers are funneled into this room. And you see all of the angels, you know, the messengers of God, taking them and sorting them out and getting them to where they need to be, to the throne. And so he says, okay. So he goes to the next room, and it's another really large room. He said, what's that? He said, well, that's shipping. That was receiving. This is shipping. He said, that's where they're all busy getting ready, answering the prayers and getting ready to send them to the people that need them answered. So he goes to this third room, and it's just a small room, but it need not be any larger because there's only a few things happening in there. And the guy says, well, what is this room? He says, well, this is the room of acknowledgments. This is where we receive the thank yous. This is where we receive the praise. Jesus illustrated that we don't do this very often when he healed those 10 lepers. 10 lepers, only one comes back and says, thank you. I wonder how many times God is blessing our lives, but we don't stop to say, thank you. In the text today, we're going to see Jesus setting a pattern for us and showing us how to look up and say thank you. And it might surprise you that it is not always in the best of circumstances that your praise is the most powerful. For example, three thoughts today. Number one, there is the challenge. The text reveals a challenge to always be grateful. And Jesus is our example. For example, notice in verse 13, the first challenge that Jesus faced here is emotional pain. He is in some emotional pain. You have to read the preceding verses in Matthew 14 to better understand that, but his best friend had just been beheaded. John the Baptist is called a friend of the bridegroom. He and Jesus had a most unique relationship. As you know, he introduces Jesus to the world as the Lamb of God, and he baptizes him in the River Jordan. They were uniquely connected together. Jesus hears about the beheading. Notice the text. We'll read a couple of those verses. First of all, the king, Herod, has this big birthday party, and Herod's wife hates John the Baptist. And the reason she hates him is because he rebuked her and rebuked Herod. He said, it's not right for you to have your brother Herodias' wife. And so she hates him, and she wants him dead. She don't want that kind of preaching or that kind of rebuke. And so she prepares this elaborate birthday party, and she has this beautiful daughter, and the daughter is scantily attired, and she's got, there's all sorts of liquor flowing, and people are drinking, and the king gets liquored up, and his beautiful stepdaughter is dancing in front of him, and we can only imagine what all is involved in that. And at some point, the king says, "Hey, darling, just anything you want, I'll give it to you." And she whispers in his ear and says, "I want the head of John the Baptist on a charger." And the king had already made an oath that he promised that he would give her whatever she wanted. And so now the king did not necessarily want to do that, but nevertheless, as the text says, for the oath's sake, he had no choice. And them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. What a wicked, wicked girl. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And the real conspirator here is the mother. She brought it to her mother. That is so egregious that we can't even comprehend it. But now it's when Jesus heard this. Notice the next verse says that he's going to go now. And his disciples came and took the body and they buried it. And they went and told Jesus. And what I just told you, they come and tell Jesus. And they said he had this big birthday party and the stepdaughter dances. And they're all this and he tells them everything. And it's at that moment that sets the context of what we're learning this morning about how Jesus sets a pattern for praise and gratefulness. His own heart is in the midst of emotional pain. Notice the next verse. The word of God says, when Jesus heard it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. He wanted to be alone. He gets away from the crowd. He hears this and he departs. He leaves. He gets out of there. He doesn't say anything about it because that was not news to Jesus. Of course, we know Jesus knew what was going to happen, but yet he still suffered with us. And so there's the challenge of emotional pain. When your heart is broken, it's difficult sometimes to be grateful. It's always easy to be grateful, but sadly, few of us are grateful when things are going really good. And sometimes when things are going bad, we don't receive that so well either. But Jesus sets the example, and he is in emotional pain, and he's grateful. Traumatic disruption of your family. Some of you are facing that. Divorce or rebellious children. Things going on in your life. Your body broken in health. As he mentioned, Barbara experiencing that in others. Perhaps it's your parents you're young and they're in not a good place, and that is difficult for you. Or maybe you yourself are enduring some sort of abuse. I hope to God not, but often when I say that, someone will come to me and share with me some terrible, terrible news about some form of abuse that they had received. All around us today, I'm telling you, there are people who are in emotional pain. Some of you are lonely, but you put on a good show and you don't appear to be lonely, but you are lonely and you're hurting and you're broken. We're human. And so when you talk about always looking up and saying thankful, the point, if you notice, the challenge to always be grateful when you're in the midst of emotional pain, it is very difficult. And so the second thing that makes being grateful all the time difficult, it's not just the challenge of emotional pain, but what about physical need? When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place. This time has now passed. Send the multitude away, that they'll go into the villages and buy victuals. And Jesus said unto him, they need not depart. Give them meat to eat. And we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them to me. But there is physical need. They don't have the things they think they need. I wonder if you're under financial stress. Maybe you're physically in good shape, but you're carrying a heavy, heavy financial load. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. You don't know what, you don't know about your job. It's unsettled there, or you're coming near retirement. You're thinking about your future and you're not prepared, or you don't know where your next paycheck's going to come from. And you don't understand all of that, but there is financial need. That's where their provisions are very low right here. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Brother Marty, you may remember this, but Tom Hayes, remember him illustrating about these 5 loaves. He said, these are not big, nice sunbeam batter whip bread loaves. He said, these were no bigger than crackers. And those 2 fishes, that's not grouper or red snapper. That's the equivalent of sardines. This little meal was put inside a little boy's lunch pail. And so you've got some crackers and sardines are the equivalent thereof. And Jesus said, well, just bring to me whatever it is you have. Give me what you have and let's see what I can do with it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, well, Lord, I don't really have enough for this or that, but here what I have belongs to you. And then you sit back and watch and see what he could do with it. I could tell you some stories in my own life, but I don't want to because it takes the attention in the wrong direction. But different times where my faith has been tested and I didn't have enough to do something I needed to do, but I had someone else I knew about that needed what I had. That was enough for them. I gave them what they had, what they needed, and lo and behold, the Lord turned and blessed me many times over. When you put it in the hands of God, it will be enough. It will be enough. And so he brings it to him. He says, bring it to me. Let me have it. Let me hold it. Let me use it. And even if it's that pain, bring that pain to him. Bring that heartache to him. Bring that need to him. Bring whatever it is. Bring it to him. Because Hebrews 4:15 says this. It says, we have a high priest. He directs people to sit down on the grass, and you know the story. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looks up to heaven. That's the point. In the midst of all of this need, heartache, emotional pain, lack of provisions, Jesus looks up to heaven and gives thanks for what he has. And then he breaks the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. I heard about a woman who was invited to go to this, her husband's employer, a very, very wealthy man. And so she was excited about getting to go and see how the wealthy live, but she was also nervous because she was certainly out of her element. Like most women, not knowing what to wear or how to act or in an environment that she was certainly not accustomed to. But she met the employer, and he was a gentleman and very kind, made her feel at ease. And she and her husband were walking into this. First of all, the night started at this elaborate restaurant, a restaurant that they would never be able to afford to go to. And so as they're walking down the sidewalk, the employer looks on the ground and he sees a penny. And she notices they're walking behind him, and he stops and he looks down and he picks it up, and he just marvels at it a moment. And a big smile, doesn't say anything. He looks at it, and he kind of cleans it off a little bit, and he puts it in his pocket. And she thought, now, why in the world would a man of his stature be interested in a penny on the ground? And so they walk in, they take their seat, and as the night goes on, and it's a meal where there's several courses involved, and they're having a nice conversation. And so finally she gets up the nerve to say to the employer, she said, I just have to ask you about that penny on the ground. He said, okay. He said, well, my daughter, she's kind of a coin collector. Was that a rare coin of some sort? And he smiled, and he looks at her, and almost embarrassed, he says, well, it's what's on that penny that I treasure. She said, what do you mean? And he pulls it out and he says, well, don't you see here? It says, in God we trust. He said, so every time that I see something like that, that has that on it, I think God is sending me a special message saying to me, In God, you trust. Trust me. Trust me. He said, it's just the way the Lord talks to me. It's just, I just believe he's always telling me every day of my life, trust me. How many coins have you got in your pocket right now? All of them are saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. And the wonderful thing about it is, when you do trust him, he never fails. So there's the challenge to always be grateful, even in the midst of problems and pain and heartache. Did you know the Bible said in everything give thanks because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? That's a powerful verse, but that is the command. The second thing I want you to see, Jesus makes a choice. He makes a choice to look up and say thank you. And I believe that the grateful heart sometimes does come to a crossroads where you can either praise or you can complain. Most of us are brought to that every day of our life. Am I going to praise God or am I going to complain about things? The choice Jesus makes to look up. Again, in verse 15, as evening approached, the disciples came and said, it's a remote place. It's getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go in the villages and buy some food. Send them away. Verse 16, Jesus says, they don't need to go anywhere. You give them something to eat. He makes a choice. Jesus keeps his head in the midst of a difficult circumstance. You say, well, he's Jesus. He can do that. I know that, but Jesus lives in our heart. He wants us. He's the pattern that that we are to follow. We need to make that choice to praise God even in a difficult situation. Do you do it? Can you do it? Again, I hear about this woman. She's got some sort of a cancer and she's being treated and daily her hair is falling out. And so she gets up one morning and she looks and there's only three hairs there. And she laughingly says in the mirror, she says, I think I'll braid my hair today, Lord. This is a true story. I heard the pastor say that. He says, I'll braid my hair today, Lord. Gets up the next morning. There's only two hairs there. And she says, Lord, I'm going to part my hair today. She gets up the third morning. And there's only one hair. And she says, well, I'll wear this in a ponytail. She gets up the next morning. There's no hair. She said, thank you, God. I don't have to do my hair today. You know, I believe God does give that kind of grace when we trust him. Not without trusting him. Most of us would panic. I'm sure I would myself. Without trusting God, just left to ourselves, we're not very grateful people. We can be very quick to complain and make the worst out of bad situations instead of the best. And so there's a choice. He says, look, just what do we have here? Well, what we have is five loaves and two fishes. He says, well, okay, let's just work with what we've got. Reminds me of Moses when he was leading the children of Israel across the Red Sea or out of Egypt. And they come up on the Red Sea and the Red Sea's there. And what are we going to do now? Pharaoh and his army is hot on their heels and they're very mad. And Moses has led them out, but now he's got the Red Sea. And so his back's against the wall and millions of Israelites or Hebrews are following his leadership. And so basically God says to Moses, or Moses says to God, Lord, what do I do? He says, what do you have in your hand? He says, well, it's got this staff pointed out there over the water. Watch what I can do with what you have. And so Moses just picks up the stick, points it toward the Red Sea and says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't believe Moses had any idea what God was going to do. He just did what God said and used what he had, pointed it there, and next thing you know, the waters parted. You might be surprised at what you got in your hand that God could use if you're just willing to trust him with it. Every day of your life, you make a choice to be grateful or you make a choice to be ungrateful. Have you been watching the news? In Tripoli, in Libya, they're doing something that will come up later in the book of Hosea when we look at it. They're actually auctioning off men there. They're kidnapping men by the thousands, and they're putting them in these warehouses, and they're sitting there with lice and all sorts of things all over their bodies are getting gnawed on by insects, and they carry them and haul them out to the auction where it's hid in an undisclosed place. And they auction them off. And then when they take these men, they make them their slaves. And for just little bit of money, they buy these men, big, strong men. But yet they're laying there, some of them malnutritioned and weak, and they can barely talk. And CNN gets there. They find them, and there's some reporters there. And it says, what's going on here? And they're trying to get with the immigration people to let them know about it. We need to pray for these people. But they come to them and say, what's happening here? Laying there on their cots, these men, strong men, are crying. They're hungry. And most of us, we don't know what it's like to be in a real difficult situation. We don't know what it's like to really be without, you know, because, hey, we just had Thanksgiving, and I doubt very many of us went hungry. And so I wonder what the Lord thinks. We don't think about the people in Tripoli. We don't think about the people in these remote places. These little nomad children that I've told you about out in the Sinai desert. God sees them every day. And he sees us here driving our nice cars and going home and opening our refrigerator and eating what we want and living in our world and doing things. And these people out there in deserts and difficult places are having to depend upon God every day just for something to eat. We should flood the altars and just praise God for all of the things he's given us. But sadly, in too many churches today, there's very little praise. There's very little thanks. But boy, if you get in some conversations on the sides, you can hear a lot of complaining, a lot of moaning, a lot of murmuring, a lot of grumbling, a lot of discontent. We make the choice to look up and say thanks every single day. Now, the third and final thing I want you to see is Jesus shows us what the consequences of looking up and saying thank you are. It's a challenge to always say thankful. I don't question that. I don't deny that. Sometimes when life is hard, it's difficult to see the bright side. But there's a choice that we need to make when we feel challenged like that. But the consequence of doing it far exceeds anything else, because then you get to see what God can do. Look what happens in the text. They all ate and were satisfied. You see, every single person that was there under the umbrella of the protection of Jesus Christ himself, because he mastered that situation, handled that situation, nobody went home hungry. Nobody went home without. They were all ate and were satisfied, and they had plenty left over, as the text revealed. You know, there's nothing God can't do for you, no matter what it is. I mean, if you've experienced great pain, I can promise you this, that great pain was not designed just to leave you in pain. In some way, it's to make you a better person. Let me close with this poem that kind of says everything I'm trying to say. And I apologize, I don't know who the author is, but the name of the poem is Good Timber. The tree that never had to fight for sun and sky and air and light, who lived out in the open plain, always got its share of the rain. Never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. The man who never had to toll to heaven from his common soil, who never had to win his share of sun and sky, light and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. Good timber does not grow in ease. The stronger the wind, the tougher the trees. The farther sky, the greater length, the more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snows, and in tree or man, timber grows. Where thickest stands the forest growth, we find the patriarchs of both. And they hold converse with the stars, whose broken branches show the scars. Of many winds and much strife, this is the common law of life. Things grow in difficult times. Someone has said that the purest water is the water that has fought its way through solid rock and then burst out into the sunlight. People that just have it easy all the time, they may think they're extremely blessed, but perhaps God has put something in your life and it doesn't look like a blessing on the surface, but it's a part of God breaking you so God can give you to others. Not give more to you, but give you to others. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't ready for the ministry until God broke me. I don't feel a lot of days like I'm very good at it now, but I'm going to tell you, I was terrible at it until I was broken. Terrible. You know, it's a great thing. A lot of you are gaining knowledge here. You're studying and you're learning, and I applaud you, and I can't tell you how proud I am of you for doing that as your pastor. But I caution you. Knowledge puffs up. Just getting a lot of accumulative knowledge without experimental knowledge can be dangerous. That's why God blessed you, but now he's going to have to break you to ever get you to where you need to be. And if you hadn't discovered that yet, you will. You might not agree with me now, but you'll come to me one day and say, boy, I sure do agree with that. That's a promise. Because I'm right about that. So I don't know where you are in your life, but you got a choice. You can stop and say, thank you, God, I'm going to trust you. The consequences of that will be, in his time, you'll eat and be satisfied. But if you choose to not be grateful, then you're gonna let sorrow just invade your soul, create misery in your life, and rob your faith, steal your joy, and just devastate your peace. Why don't you just thank him for what you have and see what he can do with that? Trust him. That's how to look up and say thank you. Keith, if you'll come now, let me say this. If you're here and you've never come to Christ, well, the absolute first thing you need to do is look up and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to save me. I need you to forgive me of my sins and give him your heart, give him your life, and watch what he can do with it. He can take the burden of that sin away. He can take the stain away. He can wash you, make you whiter than snow, and justify you before his Father. Heaven is your home. But without salvation, all this is just something that just sounds good. It all starts with knowing God in a personal way. And so if you don't know him, I pray this morning you'd humble down before him and trust him by faith. Heavenly Father, as I wait before you now, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for all the moments in my life where you reminded me that I should be thankful. You convicted me where I wasn't. And then you gave me grace, Lord, to understand it better and gave me the faith to praise you in difficult moments. I want you to forgive me, Lord, for all the times that I failed at doing that. But Lord, we often talk in our church about the power of praise. But Lord, if we just wait for everything to be great, if we just wait for revival to break before we start praising you, if we just wait till we see evidence and all of that, remind us, Lord, to stop and say, Lord, we've got some things in our lunch bucket now we could thank you for. And build on that faith and trust you and praise you. And then if that person here, Lord's never come to Christ, they've never given their heart to you, they've never trusted you, I pray this would be the moment they would do that now. In Christ's name I pray, amen. While we sing.